In just about any endeavor, it helps to stand back once in a while and take stock of accomplishments and restate goals. So California is embarking on a process to consider where it stands with wildlife management and where it wants to go. The mechanism for this process is the regular revision of the State Wildlife Action Plan. Call it SWAP, if you like, for the acronym it creates. Armand Gonzalez is a special advisor with California Fish and Wildlife. We're still getting used to the change from the old name, California Fish and Game. But Armand, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. My pleasure.
So tell us about state wildlife action plans generally and how they differ from other management plans that exist.
Well, the State Wildlife Action Plan, it's a requirement that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service gave us in order to be able to receive state wildlife grant funds. So that's really its main purpose. But we're hoping to broaden the scope of the plan to include conservation more broadly at ecosystems rather than individual species, where we have been focused in the past.
In other words, trying to take care of several species at once by making sure the ecosystem's in good shape?
Exactly. I think it makes sense that if the habitat is in good shape, if you're doing things to enhance or improve the habitat, that all the species that live there will benefit.
So you say that all states are required to make these plans. What sorts of grant funding becomes available if these plans are in place and correctly done?
Well, California receives approximately $3 to $3.5 million a year. So since 2005, when our first plan went into place, we received over $35 million so far.
All right, and what kinds of programs has that money been used for?
Yeah, that's used for research on sensitive species. It's used for management. It's used for monitoring. And it's also used for restoration of habitats.
And there's some good examples, some good obvious ones that people can look at and say, oh, okay, now I see how that money's been used.
Well, we've done a number of studies on our sensitive species in the Sierra, for instance, the pika. And so we've published the results of that research recently. We've also done some restoration work on our wildlife areas. I think up in that area, probably the north coast, some of the coastal wetlands have received that federal funding.
The pika is a rodent, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually in the rabbit family.
Okay. A cute little thing, but a little hard to find, I understand.
Yeah, they are hard to find. It was interesting, though, in our study, we went back to historic pika sites that had been identified back in the early 1930s, and of the dozen sites that we revisited, we found pika at all of them. So that's actually good news for pika.
Absolutely. So, Armand, on a broader scale, though, I mean, give us an idea of the complexity and variety of California wildlife and habitats. This is a big state with lots of different types of terrain and ecosystems, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. California has the most biodiversity of any state. That's the total number of species. We also have the most number of endemic species, which are species that occur here in California and nowhere else. That, together with the fact that we have 38 million people in California, makes it a real challenge to do any kind of conservation in California. But we do have a variety of habitats, you know, our coastal habitats all the way up to Mount Whitney and down to Death Valley, just a huge variety of different kinds of ecosystems.
So is there really one state wildlife action plan, or is it really something more like several action plans that are rolled into one?
Yeah, you know, it was necessary to break the state down rather than do one big plan. Would have been very complex. So we did break the state down into what we call conservation units. And the conservation units are ecoregions, watersheds, and then marine study areas. So there's about 43 conservation units distributed throughout the state, and each one of them deals with a different type of habitat.
And so are the ecoregions the larger unit, and you break it down further into watersheds and marine areas?
No, that's what's kind of complex about this is that the watersheds overlay the terrestrial ecoregions, and so they're layered as opposed to separate.
Wow. So I'm going to guess there'd be a fair number of people involved with preparing the State Wildlife Action Plan. A lot of biologists, a lot of people in management positions, all kinds of technicians.
Sure. We just spent the last 6 months preparing our draft strategies for our conservation units, and we had 130 staff involved in preparing those strategies. We also had about 30 staff from other agencies, state and federal agencies, as well as NGOs that were also participating in development of those strategies.
So a fair number of people. And is the coming revision for the State Wildlife Action Plan just normal business, a periodic updating?
It is. It's required that it be updated every 10 years. We're allowed to update it more frequently if we wanted to, although with the amount of work that goes into it, every 10 years is early enough. But it is a regular thing. All states have these action plans. All states are required to update them. And so right now, most of the states are going through this revision process.
So how does the State Wildlife Action Plan, for example, fit in with any listings of sensitive species, with individual management plans for individual species? I mean, how do those all work together?
Well, with listed species, the thing that's unique about the State Wildlife Action Plan and the intent of these plans is to keep common species common. And by doing that, we avoid the eventual listing of species. If we can intervene on things that are affecting them or their habitats before they get to that point of needing protection under the Endangered Species Act, then it becomes a lot easier to manage for them, becomes a lot less costly to manage for them. So the idea is to focus on species and habitats to avoid future listing. And as far as individual species management, you know, we still have a requirement to manage listed species. So we can't abandon that responsibility. But this plan is trying to look more broadly at the habitat that affects listed species as well as non-listed species.
Is there anything, Armand, in the revised State Wildlife Action Plan that would address wolf management in case, for example, OR7 comes back into the state with friends, or is this not the vehicle for that?
Yeah, this really isn't. What this would do, though, is address some of the habitats that OR7 visited while he was here, the mixed conifer forest, the sagebrush steppe that he wandered through up in Northern California. So, again, it's trying to focus on making improvements to the habitat, reducing the threats that may be affecting that habitat, and hopefully making it a better place for OR7 and all the other animals that live there.
In the shift of focus, let me remind our listeners again, we're talking to Armand Gonzalez, who's a special advisor to California Fish and Wildlife. We're talking about the State Wildlife Action Plan 10-year update. You can join us on The Exchange, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. In the shift to focus to ecosystems rather than just individual species, I mean, is that the largest change that was likely to come in this document, or are there other particular needs that will be addressed, the deficiencies discovered in the current one, for example?
I think the biggest change besides the ecosystem focus is that we've developed 63 strategies for our 43 conservation units. That is really a drop in the bucket when you think about, you know, all of the different habitats and all the complex issues that we're dealing with and all the biodiversity that we have to consider. But it's 63 more strategies than the first plan had. So we're really happy about that. And these strategies are implementable strategies where we've identified specific measures with a timetable to follow. With performance measures so that we can see how we're doing and then adapt if changes are needed. And so having those implementable strategies, I think, is really the biggest change in the plan. for the update.
And it affects public and private land? I mean, I guess there are probably a few private landowners thinking, wait a minute, is this going to affect what I'm doing on my land?
It does affect all of the habitats without regard to ownership. We've identified in some of these strategies the need to partner with private landowners. Certainly, maybe a majority of the habitats, the wildlands in California are privately owned, and so it becomes necessary to take into consideration those lands when trying to plan conservation on a broader scale. And so it requires that we find partners and develop partnerships with private landowners. And of course, all of this would be willing landowners. And what we would do is try to find things that, you know, all things being equal, doing the things that we normally do in our daily activities and in their daily work, is to find things that we could do together that benefit fish and wildlife.
Is there what is the timeline for the revision of the State Wildlife Action Plan, and is there a chance for people to comment upon its ideas?
Oh, absolutely. Right now we're in the process of doing our public scoping for the strategies that we developed over the past few months. And so we do have scoping meetings planned in Northern California. We have we have one planned in Redding and then one in Eureka. And information about that can be found on our website at www.dfg.ca.gov/swap. There's also going to be, after the public scoping, we'll be developing the first draft of the action plan update. And we should have that out for public review next summer. So summer of 2014, we should have that draft document out. And we'll be doing some public review meetings for that as well. Then again, the final document will be completed in the summer of 2015, and so we'll have another opportunity for public review and comment, and we'll be having some public meetings at that time as well.
All right, so lots of chances to comment between now and the time everything's locked up in 2015.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, Armand Gonzalez is a special advisor for California Department of Fish and Wildlife and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange talking about the state wildlife action plans. Armand, thank you so much for your time today on the Exchange.
My pleasure. Thank you.